Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And to greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, listen, friend, if He isn't your Savior, He can be. If He isn't your Savior, He came to be. If He isn't your Savior, the Word of God says, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, we're glad, Debbie and I are, that you've tuned in this day to share with us from the Word of God in our time of worship and considering the Word. And we just pray that you'll think, as we think, our time together is an investment for eternity. I'll tell you, friend, we're just passing this way one time, are we not? We've only got one opportunity to do whatever we're going to do. And I like what I was told years ago, this saying. I really like it. I've committed it to memory. As many, many people have, only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How true that is. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your mind and affections on things above. Well, enough of that. Look, I've opened my Bible to the book of Job, chapter 19 of the book of Job, right after the book of Esther, right before the book of Psalms. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, right there, almost in the middle of the Bible. I suppose you could say a very familiar passage of Scripture that I'm going to read from as far as my text passage goes. To those of you that are Bible readers, chapter 19, I'm going to look specifically. Oh, I'm going to pick it up probably at verse 23 and read down through maybe the end of the chapter, maybe stop at 27. We'll just see and share with you the message that I feel like God has laid on my heart. I hope it's a blessing. I trust that it is. I've prayed about it. I've considered it. I believe with all of my heart, the best I can discern, this is where God has led me today for our time together. So here's Debbie. The title of the song she's going to do is Job. And it's a blessing to me. I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as you listen to Debbie sing about this man we're going to preach about.
There was a man whose name was Job, who lived in a land of us. He was. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. Perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was. Then Satan came walking to and fro. The Lord said, "Consider my servant Job." Satan said, "Take all he has, and he will curse you to your face." Then Job lost all he had and all that he could say. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job, who lived in a land of us. He was. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. Blessed be the name of
I like that. Thank you, Debbie. Thank God. I'll tell you what, can I ask you something? Can you say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Well, look, we can do that when things are going good, when the sun's shining, when there is no dark clouds on the horizon. It's pretty easy to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But I'll tell you what, if you want to get somewhere, if you want to become something, and I do, and I think you do too, that's why God has sent this message to us, then we need to come to the place where we can do that when, friend, the sun's not shining, when the clouds have just spread over themselves, and, well, even when the heavens fill as brass, as one of the writers said in the Word of God. We're going to look at a man that most people have heard about. I mean, just about everybody that I know, saved and unsaved, believer or unbeliever, has heard of this man to the name of Job. You see, there's a phrase that a lot of people said talks about, well, he's got the patience of Job. And I know the Word of God talks about the patience of Job over in the book of James, I believe it is, and I'm not looking at it. But I'll tell you what, sometimes as you read the book of Job, as you make your way through it, you wonder if he's just like me and you, if he's got any patience at all. But we know that God developed them. And by the way, everybody listen to me right now, please say amen. God is developing them in me and you too. The Bible said that patience is so important. The Bible said that in our patience we are to possess our souls. And I'll be honest, I don't understand much about that verse, but here's what I do understand. I understand God understands it. I understand God has written it, had it written in His Word. I know that God has inspired it, put His touch on it, and we need to understand it as best we can. Look here in the 19th chapter of the book of Job. I'm going to begin reading at verse 23, and the Word of God says, and this is Job crying out, "Oh, that my words were written. All that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever." Little did Job know that his request would be granted. Little did Job know about what God was doing with him and doing through him, allowing Job. Now watch this, listen to what I'm going to say. Allowing Job to do something mighty for God. And you say, what is that, preacher? Well, I'll tell you in just a little bit. Do you ever think that there are times that God can use us to vindicate Him? Isn't that amazing? That's an awesome thought, but I believe with all of my heart that that's part of what Job was doing for God in this confrontation that was played out on planet Earth in the life and even the body and the soul, the spirit, the heart and the mind of this man by the name of Job, whose family was affected deeply. Oh, I believe God was allowing Job to do something for him in the face of Satan that would bring glory and honor to God. Listen, I believe that. Listen to what he goes on to say. Job said, "For I know..." Oh, how important it is for us to know things. And it seems like our knowledge becomes more important to us at certain times in life than at other times. Although knowledge is always important, he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." I'm going to talk to you a little bit today, just for a little while. That's all the time that I've got. I want to talk to you about Job's affirmation of faith. Oh, friend, listen, Job's affirmation of faith. Folks, we need to have faith. We do have faith, and our faith needs to be deposited in the right one, in the right place. And look, your faith may be weak. Your faith may be great. There may be a time when you feel like you have no faith. But oh, if you're like Job, friend, listen, when the storm clouds gather, I'm telling you, when the enemy comes against us, oh, look, friend, when we've got our faith anchored in Jesus, when we've got our faith anchored in our kinsman Redeemer, oh, listen, we'll be able to endure. what we cannot enjoy. We're a spoiled bunch in this day and hour. Would you agree with that? I'm telling you, look, that's not a complaint, but it's true. And though we are, the thing about it is it can cause us mighty, mighty troubles. We think that everything ought to be roses. Everything ought to be peaches and cream. Everything ought to be easy, smooth sailing. That we ought not to have a storm. That we ought not to cry a tear. That we ought not, friend, just face a loss. And look, we could do that at any moment of time. And Job allows us in. God allows us into the heart and the life of Job so that we can learn from what he experienced. Oh, look, I'm telling you, folks, we need faith. When everything else fails, we need faith. You know what faith is? Faith, listen, is believing and trusting when there's no reason to believe or trust. I mean, when everything else looks just the opposite, and I keep thinking about that man on the cross that looked at Jesus who didn't look like a king, who looked at Jesus that didn't look like a Savior, who looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, he had faith, did he not? Hey, he didn't look at what was apparent. He trusted in what he read. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He had trusted in what he heard said. He saved others. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, there's a time when nothing is left for you and I but our faith. But Job will prove to us he has that faith is enough. When everything else fails, faith is enough. Look, Job affirmed his faith. I mean to tell you, he stated it as a fact. He asserted it as something being true. And Job, listen now, Job was in a difficult place. I want you to think with me, first of all, about Job's condition. Then we'll look at his complaint. Then we'll look at his confidence. And then we'll listen to his confession. I'll tell you, Job's condition was bad. You know what the Word of God says. Everybody knows about chapter 1 and 2 and probably chapter 40 and 41 and 42. Has it got 42 chapters in it? I forget. I think it does, but it does. Most people know about the beginning of the book of Job and the end of the book of Job, but when we began the book of Job, just like Deb sang, we heard about a man who was the greatest in Ur of the Chaldees, the greatest in the East. He was rich. He was well known. He was wise. He was reverend, if you will allow me to say it in the proper use of the term. He was recognized as being somebody great, as being wise and helpful, and all kinds of good things was said about about this man by the name of Job. He had a prosperous family. No doubt he had a beautiful wife. No doubt, friend, listen, people sought him out. People respected him. People even may have feared him to a great degree. But when we get here to the 19th chapter of the book of Job, Job had lost everything but his faith in God. Job had lost everything but his integrity. Job had lost everything but something that held him and anchored him in the midst of this storm. And that was his trust in Almighty God who was unseen. But Job was sure that he was there. I want you to know that Job's condition was bad. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something what God did? Job didn't realize what was going on. He didn't realize that he was defending God. He was an advocate for God in this. You see, it was Job's faith and endurance that proved the enemy of the soul wrong. And it brought glory to God because Satan went up before God and said, hey, I've been walking to and fro, and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, but this is why he serves you. You've hedged him in. You just blessed him. Hey, you take all of this away, and he'll curse you to his face. Bold Job proved that, listen, faith is more about the person, than it is the prize of the person gift. Job declares that we need the miracle worker more than we need the miracle. Oh, I'm telling you, I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know, than all this world's wealth and fame. I'd rather have the miracle worker than the work of a miracle, wouldn't you? But he was vindicating God. And I'll tell you, when we get in these places, we need to do what a man by the name of Bob Jones said. He said, never doubt in the darkness what God has taught you in the light. Oswald Chambers said, it's not the days of sunshine and splendor and liberty and light that'll leave their lasting and indelible effect upon the soul, but those nights of the spirit in which, shattered by God's hand, hidden in the dark cleft of some rock in a weary land, he lets the splendor of the outskirts of himself pass before our gaze. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the Word of God declares that God is, and that's enough for us to anchor our soul, our trust, our eternity to Him. Look in this 19th chapter, we find Job's condition, it was poor. Oh, look, there are times that he was like a yo-yo, he was up and he was down. But in this 19th chapter, we hear his complaint as he said, listen, I've been forsaken by everybody. My friends, my family, even by God. Oh, he was at a low spot when this chapter started. And if you and I had been in the physical condition, the emotional condition, the spiritual condition that Job was in, friend, look, I see many people walking away from God when situations in their life are not nearly this bad. They'll shake their fist in God's face and they'll say, look, if I knew he was like this, I'd have never started in the beginning. Ah, look, friend, Job was anchored. Job, listen, he couldn't understand. His condition was very poor. But, oh, there's a confession coming when we get to the end of the chapter. He felt like a dethroned king. I'm telling you, he felt like he had been stripped of his glory, stripped of his crown. Even his maids ignored him. Even his men servant wouldn't listen to him. The little kids derided him. And one time, friend, he caught their attention and their respect, but his family also turned away. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, listen. I want to ask us a question. What do we have when God takes away all of our crutches? Bless God, we've got faith in a God that never changes, in a God who is eternal, in a God who is able, in a God, thank God, that's got all power in heaven and in earth. Job's condition was bad. And look at his complaint. I'm telling you, he complained about everything. And I believe he had right to. I tell you, I believe what he said was right. I'm not going to spend a moment on this because of time's sake, but he called his, quote, comforters miserable. Well, I'll tell you what, those three men, Bildad, Elihu, and Zophar, they'd have been better off. They'd have come and just sat with him and kept their mouths shut. They began to accuse him and say, Job, nobody would be in this place that you're in. There wasn't some great sin in your life, but all. Ah, little did they know, little did Job know what God was using this man of clay to do in vindicating God and showing Satan and all the world how that God can be trusted even when he can't be understood. But look at Job's confidence. And here, listen, friend, is the message. Oh, wish I had more time. He said this. Look, he said, now look, I'm in bad shape. I want you to know that I'm in bad shape, but my confidence is not in me. He said, for I know that I've got a Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, friend, listen. I'll tell you what, when we can't feel something, we need to know something. We need to have a knowledge of the Almighty. We need to have a knowledge of the Word of God that's immutable, that's perfect, it's pure, it's unchanging, it is eternal. We need to have something to anchor us, to hold us when the storm gales have risen around us, when the floods come, when the rains fall. We need to be founded upon that rock so that we can stand. And that's where Job was. He said, I know. And he said, it's my Redeemer. He had a knowledge that was unshakable. He had a knowledge, bless God, I'm that was unsinkable. It wasn't in his feelings. He felt lousy. He felt like he was ready to die. He had even wished that he would have died in his mother's womb. But I'll tell you this, bless God, when the storm was raging, when the water was a highest, when the winds were howling, he said, I know something. And bless God, I can endure what I cannot enjoy. And there he stood. He said, my Redeemer. Somebody's got this. He said, I don't understand this. He said, I can't explain this. But there's somebody that loves me that does. He's my near kinsman. Bless God, he'll pay the price. He'll do the work. He'll take care of me. Thank God, He'll redeem me. He'll restore me. He'll revive me. He'll do what I cannot do. And he said, look, he said, he's standing. Isn't that amazing? He said, I see him standing. He said, he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Thank God, Job knew that he was alive and that he would be alive. But he said, he's standing. I wonder if Job knew something about his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. You said, where are you getting that at, preacher? Well, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, when John was there weeping, and the elder said, or the angel said, weep not, John. For there's been one found worthy to open the book, take the book, open the seals, and look therein. And he said, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And by the time that John wiped the tears out, looked to the throne of bless God, he said, I saw a lamb standing, a lamb as it had been slain, standing. Thank God he was victorious. Job said, look, it may look like I'm going down in defeat. But thank God, because I've got a Redeemer. Because He lives. Because He's standing. Thank God I've got victory in Him. I may not understand this. You may not understand your stuff. But thank God, I'll tell you what. We've got one. We've got one that allow us to do what Job did. Say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's my Redeemer. And He says this, though after my skin worms destroy this flesh, in my flesh shall I see God. Hey, thank God. Listen, he had a confidence, did he not? He didn't have a confidence in himself. He didn't have it in his miserable comforters. He didn't have it in his wife that said, and I believe with great empathy and mercy, why don't you just curse God and die? He didn't have confidence in the riches that he once had. He didn't have confidence, bless God, in the position that he once had. He didn't have confidence in the prominence that he once had. But I'll tell you, he had his confidence in God. Look, friend, God used him to advocate God for being worthy of service, worthy of worship. When everything was gone, when nothing was left but man and God. He listened, friend, he was an advocate for God in front of the enemy. But look, finally, look at his confession. Oh, thank God. Look, I've done giving it to you. But he said, I want you to know, I've got a Redeemer. I know I'm going to the grave, but there's a resurrection. Thank God I'll go to the grave, but I'll come out one day. And he said, you know what I'll do? I'll stand there on the other side redeemed. And he said, though after the skin worms had destroyed my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You know what he was saying to Elihu? You know what he was saying to Bildad? You know what he was saying to Zophar? You know what he was saying to Tom Price and all of you? He said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to wait on Him. I'm going to lean on Him. I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to learn of Him. I'm going to listen for Him. And I'm going to listen to Him. In just a few chapters to come, I bless God, Job put his hand on his mouth. And he said, once I have spoken, yea, twice have I spoken, but not again. He said, look, I've heard of thee. He said, look, I've heard of thee speaking about God. But he said, now I've seen thee. Thank God, there's going to be a day, friend. there's going to be a day, ma'am, sir, when all the redeemed and everybody that isn't will see our Lord and our Savior. We'll see Him, bless God. We'll see Him in all of His glory, like the Word of God said. Who is the King of glory? Isaiah saw His glory fill the temple of that day. And you know what we do? Bless God, we'll give Him glory. We'll give Him thanks that He trusted us enough to test us and to try us, to bring us to dark places so He could bring us to the light. Oh, Job said, my Redeemer liveth. I've got confidence in Him. And one day, I'll stand on the other side. I'll stand. Bless God. I'll make it through. Hey, let's put our confidence, our faith, our trust in Him.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.